Hey there, it's Rich Pav from www.haroflumjapan.com.
You know, it's getting so easy to do one of these things every day. I think I'm going to do it in a different voice every day from now on, just to spice things up. So today I'm going to use this voice for 45 minutes. And if anyone talks to me, I'll talk to them in this voice, in Japanese. 1 second, though, maybe I won't. So today I was so eager to get out of the house on time that I forgot my phone and I forgot my backpack, and I feel naked. I feel totally naked. It was just, the thing that worries about me is I don't remember forgetting my backpack, and I realized I didn't have it when I was walking up the elevator to the train platform. So I'm wondering if I left it at the bike park or not. Maybe I took it off and put it down on the ground when I put my bike up. I cannot remember at all. But I did forget my phone. I forget a lot. I think too much and I forget a lot. Always do. And this morning, I wanted to leave a little earlier than usual, and I had to get Tony out of the house. And now I completely understand why my father used to curse at me, why my mother used to scream at me. Oh my God, I'm standing there with my key in the front door, holding the door open, waiting for Tony to put all his stuff on, his jacket and his hat and his gloves and his backpack, and he has to put every one thing on individually, very carefully and meticulously, not worried about time at all. But even though it took him a long time to finally get out of the house, It didn't make me late, and so everything went okay. My wife has alarms that go off. There's one that goes off at 7:25, and then there's another alarm that goes off at 7:30. And the 7:25 is the get ready alarm, and the 7:30 alarm is the get out of the house alarm for the kids. But the kids have learned that the 7:25 alarm means nothing and the 7:30 alarm means start getting ready. So I think one of these nights I'm going to have to move up those two alarms and fool everybody. Be really sneaky. The funny thing is, even though I forgot my backpack, I don't have anything in there that I really need. If I don't have it, I just feel naked. So it's just full of junk. I have a book in there I haven't read, a magazine I haven't read, a bunch of bills. What else? Dead batteries. Feel naked without it. So I spend a lot of time every day on the train, so not much a whole lot to talk about, because I can't talk about work. But yesterday morning, I gave up my seat to an older guy. Man, was he happy. He slapped me on the back. It just really seemed like I really made his day. And it's such a small, stupid thing to do. But honestly, it seems like the only way I can really, really feel good about myself is when I do something nice for somebody else. And just by giving up my seat in the morning, I know that I made that guy happy, and maybe you know, maybe he had a better day because of it, and he's going to pass it on. Or maybe somebody saw me give up their seat, and they'll be more likely to do it next time, or something like that. So, in a way, maybe it's good that I actually have to go out and do something to feel good about myself instead of just feeling that way all the time. And then this morning, a lady got on. It's hard to pick out, you know, if somebody's really, really old, it's easy to give up your seat. But if there's somebody maybe early 60s, you know, you might insult them by giving up your seat. And there's sort of an unwritten rule, I guess, that when somebody offers to do something for you, you have to refuse it first before you can accept it. I have to get on the train. Talking about how when you do something nice for somebody, the person has to refuse a couple of times. And some people take it so far that I don't know whether or not they're actually refusing or they're just being polite. I wish they would just take the seat, for Christ's sake. It happened this morning. A woman got on sort of, you know, the borderline, does she stand or does she sit age. And I got up to give her my seat, and the guy who was standing directly in front of me, hang on, I don't want to bust anybody's speakers. Okay, I got about half a minute of no wind here. The guy who was standing in front of me, probably early 30s, started sitting down in my seat, and I had to hold him off with my elbow as I tried to convince this old lady to take my seat. So, on one side of me, I'm elbowing this guy in the chest, trying to keep him from sitting down. And on the other side, I'm going, no, no, please take my seat, please take my seat. She finally sat down. I don't know if the guy was angry or not. I guess not. And then she got off, and I sat back down again in the seat. That's an unspoken rule, that if you give up your seat, it rarely ever happens. And the person gets off the train, then you get to sit down in the seat again. Okay, I gotta pause again. Windbreak. It's amazing how everyone's so packed tightly together in the train, yet everyone's in their own little world. Adjust the mics here. Just oblivious to everybody else. It's like there can be a little old lady who's so short and standing, and she's so short that she's hanging off the handhold, and nobody, and just people are just oblivious to it. There's a sense in Japan of a strong sense of like in-group and out-group, that you take care of the people that are close to you, and you pretty much ignore the people who are who you don't have anything to do with. So, for example, you'll see a guy who's drunk and has fallen down a flight of stairs in a subway line, just lying there at the bottom of the stairs and people walking over him. Nobody doing anything about it. And what's interesting is when you're a guest in this country, people will accept you into their in-group. It's just part of the culture to be very gracious towards guests. And like I said, once you've lived here for a while, you're no longer offered that, and the invitations just kind of fade away. And I don't mind that. It's just something you got to accept when you live here for a long time. People don't ask me anymore whether or not I'm going home. They ask me if I'm still American, if I've changed my nationality to Japanese. And I only know one person who's ever done that. There's a guy, I can't remember his real name, or his I couldn't say his real name, that would piss him off. Guy's name, he used to go by the name David something or other, and now he's an English professor in Hokkaido and a journalist for the Japan Times, and his Japanese name is Arudo Debito. He's quite well known in Japan for his work on foreigner rights. He lives in Hokkaido, and there are a lot of public baths in Hokkaido. It's just the thing to do. It's the thing to do everywhere, but especially in Hokkaido, it's just part of the culture to go to a public bath with your family and soak in the water. He was denied entrance to a public bath in Otaru because he was foreign. And he even showed him his Japanese passport, and they still wouldn't let him in. So he sued them, and he won. And he wrote a book about it called Japanese Only, I think. Yeah, Japanese Only. And the book, he wrote it first in Japanese, and then he wrote it in English. I've met the guy. He's an interesting guy. He's very, very opinionated. So if you say anything that he doesn't agree with, just expect him to jump down. Expect him to jump down your throat. But as long as you understand that's what's going to happen, he's okay. So he's the only guy I've ever known who actually renounced his American citizenship. So it's not very common. Changing subjects. Yesterday I finally edited a video on the new computer. Man, was that nice. I can do transitions and fades and effects and see them in real time. It's also a lot easier to do the subtitles. So I got the I got the first part of the video I took a couple of weekends ago. See, we went swimming, then we went to a ramen shop, and then we went indoor fishing. So I got the swimming part done last night, and I got it rendered into a big honkin' AVI file, but I couldn't get it converted to MP4 or HD264. Because I had to download something. I had to download Fedora and something else. And there's something wrong with my Ethernet card, I think. It has gigabyte Ethernet on the motherboard. And I don't think my router likes gigabyte Ethernet. I don't think they're syncing at the right speeds. So I gotta figure out either how to slow down the gigabyte Ethernet port in software, or put a new net card in there, see if that works. Because I have another computer on the same router in the same hub. Now that works fine. So I'm guessing it's the new computer. Isn't that interesting? Fascinating. If we were women, we'd be talking about makeup. If we had tattoos and wore muscle shirts, we'd be talking about our cars. Kind of a nice day today. The snow's pretty much melting. So one thing else I was thinking of, I have yet to see another person on the train with a video iPod. I mean, not one. I haven't seen anybody else with a video iPod yet. I see a lot of iPod minis and iPod shuffles, and every once in a while I see a full-size one. So I wonder why that is. I really expected them to be quite popular with so many people taking the trains. I think maybe the problem is it's so difficult to get TV onto your iPod. You kind of have to be technically savvy to be able to do that. And the iTunes store in Japan isn't offering any TV shows. They offer music videos and Pixar videos. But I don't think that's what people really want to watch. But maybe if Apple can cut a deal with some of the Japanese networks. The video iPod will go mainstream. There are video blogs out there in Japanese that are for the iPod, and I can probably find one right now if I can get my iPod out here. See if I can find one in English. An English title so you can take a look at it. Hang on. iPod videos. Video podcast. I'm almost at work, so this'll work out really well. Let's see. Okay. Here's one. This is a guy. I'm guessing from the content, it's an older Japanese guy who has a high definition video camera, and it's called HDV_podcast. And all of the titles of the episodes are in Japanese, and he's done so far 21 episodes. And they're just little slices of life in Japanese. There's no explanation because his audience is, I guess he assumes his audience is other Japanese. So, like, for example, in episode 21, he shows mochi pounding, where you take the stump of a tree and you hollow it out and make it nice and smooth, and you put mochi rice in there. Mochi rice is like really sticky and glutinous, and you pound it with a mallet until it turns into like a paste or a taffy, and that's mochi rice, which you eat. So episode 21 is showing how that's made. It's very interesting, but if you don't have somebody explaining to it, you might not understand it. So take a look at that. It's HDV_podcast. And I'm sure you can probably find it in iTunes, because that's probably where I found it. Or just Google for it and you'll probably find it. All right, well, I'm at work, and I'm going to shock the hell out of everyone for being half an hour early. So talk to you tomorrow, and I'll get that video out. See ya.